And you're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Juneau's Indigenous Music Festival, Awk Rock, has been canceled for this year. The Every Other Year Festival was slated for September, but organizers now say it will return in 2027. Phil Hibshin with the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, or JAC, said unexpected staff shortages led to the decision. Education Director Stephen Kachung Blanchett, who helped found the festival, left abruptly last year. They won't be able to fill his role until the summer.
This left us with a really tight workflow regarding Awk Rock.
The JAC and the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska worked together to produce Awk Rock in the past. But Hibshin says another reason they're canceling this year's festival is because the JAC is in the process of transferring all festival management to the tribe.
As much as I value our partnership in this really cool endeavor, Awk Rock should be led by the voices and culture that it was created to celebrate and lift. So we both feel really good about that decision.
Tlingit and Haida says it doesn't currently have the staff to prepare to run the festival. But in an emailed statement, Tribal President Richard Chachli'ish Peterson said they're committed to making sure it returns stronger than ever. Awk Rock began as a virtual music festival in 2021. Then it was part of celebration in 2022, with musical acts performing as a side stage to the biennial gathering of Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian people in Juneau. It debuted as a standalone festival in 2023 with the intention of running every other year. Hibshin said the Awk Rock is a highlight of his time working at the JAC.
Feedback from the festival was overwhelmingly positive, and it activated Juneau's community in a way that I'm not really sure I've ever seen before. So I'm really proud of it.
Artists like Quinn Christofferson, Black Belt Eagle Scout, and Snotty Nose Rez Kids headlined the festival in 2023, with dozens of acts playing over 3 days on three different stages. More than 2,000 people attended. Whitney Bostick is the new Juneau District Attorney. She grew up in Palmer and previously worked in the Anchorage District Attorney's Office and as a private attorney, often representing domestic violence victims. The Juneau District Attorney serves Southeast Alaska communities between Wrangell and Yakutat. KTOO sat down with her to talk about how her experience informs her approach in Juneau.
When I graduated in 2010, I came back and worked for a private law firm in Anchorage, doing family law and criminal defense for about 8 years as a practicing attorney. I law clerked and interned in that office for a little bit before I passed the bar, doing primary family law and criminal defense. For that private law firm, I interacted a lot with victims of domestic violence, and I had grown up always wanting to be a prosecutor in some fashion. And I got to a point when I was in private practice that I wanted to get back to kind of feeling more fulfilled in what I was achieving and what I was doing and how I was helping my community. And that work with the domestic violence victims that I had when I was in private practice just kind of kept pulling me to wanting to do more to help them. So that's when I started looking into switching to do prosecution and working for the state.
So what brought you to this role in Juneau for Anchorage?
Sometimes it happens that different offices need help staffing-wise for various reasons. And in December of 2023, I had volunteered to come down to help for 2 weeks, for a two-week period. And at the time, the district attorney position was open. And I came down and it was just, you know, the team here working with them was great. I clicked really well with the group of people that were here. The community is wonderful and gorgeous. You can't beat the views that you have from downtown by any stretch of the imagination. And I got here and immediately clicking with everybody, you know, we're all of the same mind of the goal that we're working towards. And we all worked really well together. And it took some time for me personally to see the ability myself to have this role. Once I had the time to think about it, then I was like, I can't not apply. And I felt like the group of people that I'd be working with here, I felt like I was doing them a disservice by not applying and being down here and helping them and supporting them, because that's always how I've envisioned myself as a leader, as supporting the people that I'm working with to be able to do their job better.
How does your background in domestic violence inform the work you do for the district attorney's office?
Some of the hardest things we're doing are the cases that we can't proceed on because we can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's not to say we don't believe it didn't happen, but we have to evaluate, can we actually prove this to either a jury of six or a jury of 12 beyond a reasonable doubt? And those are sometimes some of the most difficult conversations we have, because somebody who's had the worst experience you can possibly imagine, to them, that's not what they're having to consider. And it's hard to explain what our criminal justice system is like and the realities of that, while also telling them that I hear what you went through and that is valid, and validate their feelings in a way that they don't feel like they can never come and seek assistance again. Because we don't want that. Ultimately, we want them to feel like they can always come back and say, you know, go report to law enforcement or come to us and talk about what they've experienced.
What would you like the public to know about your work?
I switched to doing public service and working for the government because I wanted to serve the communities that I live in. And it's been an honor to be selected for this position. Juno's been great the 2 months that I've been here, and last December, like I couldn't have asked for anything better. Everyone's very friendly, and I just want them to know that I'm endeavoring every day to represent the city of Juneau and the state of Alaska to the best of my ability and make sure our victims are heard.
As the Juneau District Attorney, how do you plan to kind of tackle or push back on pretrial delays?
What we're working on doing is, you know, we're prioritizing the cases that defendants are in custody and that they're older or they're higher level cases, and making sure that we're prioritizing those cases for trial and reviewing the cases to make sure they're cases that we should be trying as well. You know, we don't want witnesses or victims to not be available for trial. So we're having to prioritize and push for these cases to be tried. We're not shying away from doing trials, and we're making sure that the cases that we're pushing to trial are cases that are ready to go.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you.
That was Juneau's new district attorney, Whitney Bostick. And nearly a decade ago, bird observers in Unalaska noticed something alarming. A once abundant seabird was vanishing from their shores. Now scientists say the common murre experienced the largest single species wildlife die-off ever documented. KUCB's Sophia Stewart Rossi reports on how citizen scientists have become crucial as human-caused climate change intensifies.
Waves are crashing against Front Beach in Unalaska, and Megan Dean grips her binoculars, counting birds in the bay.
One, two, three, four.
She's counting them as they bob the waves, making sure she counts all of them before they dive underwater.
10 more black scoters. We have a couple of cormorants.
Dean is part of Unalaska's Christmas bird count, a winter tradition that's now in its fourth decade. 18 people spent one December morning outside tallying every bird they could find. It's part of the Audubon Society's nationwide count that helps scientists track changes in bird populations.
It's not just to get out in the winter and like have a greater purpose. A good citizen science project to get you through the dark day.
The largest bird populations in Unalaska's 2024 Christmas count are black scoters, harlequin ducks, glaucous-winged gulls, and of course, the famous bald eagle. But one notable bird is missing, the common murre. And a new study says its absence represents a catastrophic rippling effect that occurred in Alaska's waters. Not a single common murre was spotted in Unalaska's Christmas bird count. And that might not sound alarming, but locals counted more than 4,000 of them in the 2009 Christmas bird count, from 4,000 to zero in 15 years. In 2014, a marine heat wave struck and their numbers started plummeting. Scientists link the heat wave to human-caused climate change. Susie Golodoff compiles Unalaska's annual Christmas bird count and has spent nearly 50 years observing the island's birds as a naturalist.
Sometimes you see small populations of birds, they become more and more vulnerable and they become extinct. And you can sort of see how that would happen. But when a bird like a murre is hit, I mean, you know something's really haywire in the big picture.
Golodoff says these birds played a crucial role in Alaska's marine ecosystem. Big populations of the common murre help recycle nutrients through the ocean. They feed on small fish and nested colonies with thousands of seabirds packed together on narrow cliff ledges. In those numbers, their calls create a wall of sound. Golodoff takes out her phone.
So that's a murre.
That's the colony. So you could imagine being up in the Pribilofs with these. You multiply that by thousands.
Golodov says she loves the sound of the common murre, and she says she misses hearing them during the summer in Unalaska while out fishing in her skiff or hiking around the island. Statewide, Alaska used to be home to a quarter of the species' world population, 8 million common murres. Scientists in a new study say the heat wave, also known as the blob, disrupted their food web in the North Pacific Ocean. 4 million common murres starved to death in the largest single-species wildlife die-off ever documented. Heather Renner is that study's lead scientist. She says the discovery felt like a gut punch.
We can't stop heat waves without mitigating climate change, but I think there's lots of things we can do to protect vulnerable species, and I think the urgency of them becomes a lot more relevant.
The murre die-off might have gone unexplained if it weren't for decades of observations from researchers and citizen scientists. Renner says they pieced together what happened using 50 years of data, including records from a coastal regional citizen scientist group that have been documenting dead birds washing up on their beaches for decades.
Those data have been tremendously important in understanding what's normal and helping us document what's not normal.
Renner says local observers who collect data, like from the Christmas bird count, help scientists spot problems early. She says when locals notice something unusual, it can signal researchers to take a closer look.
People are on the ground living with these wildlife, living close to them, and that information from the people who live near them is really urgent.
For now, the count continues.
Hey, Mo, do you want to see if there's any birds in all this trash down here?
In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi.
Aloha.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 42 degrees this afternoon and overcast. It looks like we're going to get some rain tonight with a low of 40 degrees. And the weekend looks like it might be rainy as well, but the chances of rain are lower on Sunday. You're listening to KTOO.